This portion of programming is brought to you by AutoZone. Get to AutoZone to save money on your next oil change. Right now at AutoZone, get a free oil filter when you buy 5 quarts of Valvoline. Details at AutoZone.
Don't adjust that station. You have the correct station. That's correct. You got 98.7 KISS FM, and you got the number one talk show Sunday mornings in the tri-state area. That is correct. Open line. To join us in discussion, please give us a call at 1-800-288-KISS. You can also email us at openline@987kissfm.com, or you can fax us at 212-242-0706.
Welcome back. We're looking at moving in on 10:30. This is the third answer, Brother Mtume, along with his main man, Brother Bob Pickett. Also on the line, we have with us the astoundingly informed brother, Brother Tyrone Powers.
That's right.
And again, later on in the show, for those of you that want to join in on our conversation, you can dial 1-800-288-KISS. That's 1-800-288-KISS. Brother Tyrone, before we went to break, I put a couple of questions to you, and I'd like you to address them. The Republicrats, you mentioned that there's been no resistance in the government confirmation here. And then secondly, what was the second question? See, I got Alzheimer's. What was the second question, Pickett?
I forget.
Okay. It's stereophonic. But anyway, it'll come to me. But let's address the Republicrats first, brother.
Yeah, there has been no strong resistance. In fact, I would almost say that there has been almost the Republicans and the Democrats have almost colluded, come together in terms of pushing this agenda. You will hear some rhetoric occasionally from a Democrat, but it's certainly not the kind of resistance we should be hearing, considering the devastating impact of this kind of intrusion. And let me just add this to how devastating it is. There's nothing, and this is where I think we lack our critical thinking skills. There's nothing regarding the tapping or the gathering of phone records from the phone companies or this intrusion into privacy that anyone have said, that anyone have identified, would actually counter terrorism. And I think that's the key point. They keep talking about the fact that we have to stop the next 911, but there's been no congressperson, the president hasn't, none of his people have shown us emphatically how tapping these phones or getting people phone records would have prevented 911 or any other terrorist attack. I will say to you, and we know this unequivocally from the way we've dealt with organized crime during the time that I was with the FBI, they do not use the phone lines that we use. They may go to a phone booth. Mm. And if you've got phone records from a phone booth, who is that going to tell you is calling from and who they're calling to? So there is no connection. The whole process, the whole plan of collecting phone records will do nothing to counter terrorism. That's the first argument that has to be had, rather than just arguing about, well, we need to make sure there's never another 911. Somebody should be able to explain whether they're from the Congressional Black Caucus, whether they're one of those.
Well, brother, as far as the Congressional Black Caucus, we know ain't nothing coming out of there other than what the other Republicans told them to say. But you did touch on, and me and Pickett looked at each other because you reminded us of what the second question was. What do you make of this denial by the phone companies, not Quest, who said straight out from Jump Street they had nothing to do with it. Now was it AT&T and I think Verizon is saying, well, we didn't really give them that. And then also the government saying, well, we just checked phone records. We never listened to conversations. We all know that's BS.
Right. That there's no doubt about that. And the other thing is this. This is not the first time. And let me say this. Telephone companies have cooperated with these agencies for a long time. I think that the good thing, if anything good can come out of this, is the fact that some people, some organizations are going to be launching lawsuits against the telephone companies. This did take place one time in the past during the 1980s against Cincinnati Bell when they were giving telephone records to the FBI. And I know for a fact that was occurring because I was in the FBI in Cincinnati at that time, even without court orders. They were given telephone records, who you were making calls to, how long the duration of your calls, and so on and so forth, to the FBI at that particular time. And so this is a continuation of that, but now they're saying that we are doing this under a presidential directive or presidential order. But they are laws that are still in effect that have not been overturned and haven't been overturned even by the presidential directive that came about during the 1970s, again, out of those church committee hearings in 1978 when the church committee and the Congress actually said that you must have a court order to do this, that these companies can be sued over. And now when these organizations, when these people, and hopefully some of them are black, some black attorneys will get together and begin to sue these telephone companies and to ask under discovery for their records, not only from 911 until present, but it presents an opportunity for us to begin to subpoena and ask for telephone records all the way back from the 70s to this period, because I think we'll find that COINTELPRO has continue. So I think it can be an opportunity, and I'll say this again, and I've said this to you, Mtume, and to others across this nation, if we can get black attorneys just to use their skills to file the proper paperwork, we could get so much more information, and again, this whole scandal that's going on now gives us another opportunity to do that, because I will guarantee you it's more widespread than even has been reported in the USA Today, and I will guarantee you that it has impacted our community more so than any other communities. And this is a quick aside. During the time I was with the FBI, people were asking me at one point, and he's a relative of mine, so I don't want to disparage him, but they were saying, well, why would Kwaisi and Fume leave the Congress to go back and take over the NAACP or other organizations? I say you've got to go back and check what they've monitored on him during the time he was in Congress, what they do to our congresspeople, what they do to our politicians across this country is unbelievable. And the fact that so many of our politicians, and I won't get into that today, so many of our strong black politicians have been compromised by this process is amazing. I said to Marion Barry a few years ago, when they were following him around and going after him, and the FBI had this sheet in their office that said that what black politicians don't understand is that once they make out, I don't care if you make their list in the 1960s, until they have felt that they have effectively dealt with you, even if it's not until 2006, they're going to monitor you, follow you, gather your phone records, and so on and so forth. So even though we're dealing with national security issues, we're dealing with the Hayden confirmation, we're dealing with phone records released from telephone companies in 2006, there's a unique opportunity if we use our critical thinking skills and our attorneys, all those people who we put so much into educating to make sure they were strong black attorneys existing, that now is the opportunity to clear up a whole lot of things in the context of this. We just don't have to deal with it in the way that white folk or white media is dealing with it. We might use this as an opportunity to take an advantage of a great deal of things that will educate our community properly and send us in another direction.
Yes, sir, brother. The question becomes, where's Thurgood Marshall when you need him? And also, one other person, when you mentioned Kwesi, I immediately thought of Bill Gray, who was poised to be the second most powerful person in Congress. And he decides in the middle of that run, hey, I really want to just drop out of this and go run the Negro
College Fund.
Go ahead, Brother Piggy.
Tyrone, let me ask you this question, and I think you're certainly right that there's much more going on. But, you know, for a very long time, Americans have only known essentially three intelligence organizations, one involving the military, the Department of Defense, CIA, we know, and the FBI, we know, has some domestic surveillance responsibilities. And along comes this nebulous organization known as the National Security Agency within the last 10 years getting a higher profile. It is an important agency. It does a very interesting kind of intelligence, not only in the United States, but around the world. Can you describe to us exactly what the NSA is, what it's supposed to do, and how it functions, and how it differs from the CIA and the FBI intelligence gathering process?
Well, the sole purpose of the National Security Agency, and most of what they deal with is electronic intelligence, whether it's via satellites or telephone or wiretaps or those kind of things, is to gather the intelligence and to provide it to those other agencies that you're talking about. They're not supposed to be in the analysis businesses. In other words, and you mentioned the FBI and their domestic intelligence intelligence and responsibility. Actually, the FBI now have offices in 40 countries around the world. So the whole concept or mission of the FBI have changed drastically. You have to have agents now with an office in Israel, an office in Russia, an office in some of these other countries. So that whole thing has to be looked at. But the National Security Agency, to get back to your questions, have been in existence for a pretty long period of time, but it was their job to intercept conversations, informations electronically, to become sophisticated at that, to be able to use encryption technology, in other words, to break down codes and then deliver that information to these other agencies who were supposed to do the analysis, put it into some kind of report, and give it to the president and to the people in positions of power to do something with. They were more to gather it, to intercept it, and to become better and better at doing that in terms of intercepting information. But they're not new. They've been there for a very long time. And all of those other organizations that you have mentioned, the Central Intelligence Agency, Defense Intelligence, the FBI, and assorted other agencies, not only domestic but international, like the Mossad, MI5, MI6, and Great Britain, have utilized NSA material for their purposes. And so that agency have supplied these other agencies with information, and the other agencies are supposed to do the analysis and take the actions. Remember this, too, because this is always important. The Central Intelligence Agency doesn't have any arrest powers. In other words, no matter what information they gather, they cannot arrest people. However, they have the authority to kill people. So it's kind of that's why I think it's important that we look at these agencies, maybe not just today, but at some other point. The FBI has arrest powers. J. Edgar Hoover specifically, when the CIA was created after World War II, said that he wanted to make sure that the CIA agents couldn't arrest anyone. That's why when Aldrich Ames, a CIA agent who spied against this country and spied on the CIA, when the CIA found out he was doing that, they had to call the FBI to come arrest him because they have no arrest powers. What they could have done, had it not been in the public eye, is eliminate him with extreme prejudice, but they couldn't arrest him.
Tyrone, let me ask you this question as a follow-up now. In terms of the NSA electronic monitoring, could that include credit card purchases, the utilization of credit cards around the world, not just in America, but around the world, as well as monitoring your internet usage as well?
That's correct. They have the ability to do that. But still, technically, remember now, you're right, they have the ability to do that, and they have been doing that for years. Technically, though, and legally, they're still supposed to get permission of a judge. After the Church Committee hearings and after the 1978 law, even though they have the ability, even though they are doing that, monitoring encrypted information, monitoring information from credit cards, they're supposed to still get the legal right to do that from judges. And it was because the country became so concerned about privacy in this particular country that they put those laws in effect. The reality of the matter is that we know now, based on testimony from phone company personnel, that these agencies, including the NSA and other organizations, have actually set up private offices and telephone company headquarters, so they can not only monitor the information, but they're right there in the building. We've had telephone company employees now coming out to say that this is occurring, that there's an office in AT&T that is set up for the NSA. So the telephone companies can come and say, Brother Ntume, that, listen, we didn't give records to the NSA, and they may, in fact, be somatically correct, because the reality of the matter is the NSA is have an office in their office. They didn't give it to them. The NSA just took it. So they may not be lying. They may not be perjuring themselves, but you got to ask the more critical questions and say, does the NSA have space in your office? Yep. Is there an office set up in AT&T office? Is there an office set up in Verizon office where they are directly now intercepting these calls?
Wow.
Which allows you plausible deniability, which allows you to say, we didn't give them anything.
They took it.
Brother Tyrone, we're going to go to the phones, but I got a question I want you to address. One of the reasons we see nobody, we know about the spineless aspect of the Democratic Party, because they don't make a move unless they've got public persuasion on their side. But there's also something really stark about the fact that 66% of Americans are not offended by the fact that their records are being tapped into like that. How do you explain that under this culture of fear that we have.
Well, that's exactly how you explain it. It's a culture of fear, and we've it's always been said. And in fact, Richard Milhouse Nixon, when he was president, said chaos creates power. In other words, if the nation is in chaos and people are in fear, they'll give you power to do whatever they need to do. Remember, the Nixon administration actually created the DEA, which was the Bureau of Narcotics, based on the fact that he said we had an influx of heroin during the late part of the 1960s. And at that time, that was not true, but it allowed him to get the money, the authority, and to create another agency, another bureaucracy based on the fear of the people. And no one resisted that just because he said it was occurring. And so this fear factor have the people saying, do whatever you have to do to keep another 9-1-1 from happening. Strangely enough, though, during the 1960s in Latin America, there was books written by people who were involved in terrorism. In fact, found terrorism as a viable method for changing governments, who actually said that we must practice a concept of provocative terrorism. We must provoke governments into becoming so oppressive to their people where the people rise up and become sympathizers with us. And that was written about terrorism. I studied that as part of my counterterrorism training during the time when I was in the FBI. And it's, in fact, working not only to the extent that we are being spied on by our own government or that we have no privacy by our own government, but also that the terrorists or the so-called terrorists are being given credence by the fact that our government now is becoming as oppressive as any of the governments they claim to be going after, and democracy is becoming less of a thing in America than it is in Afghanistan.
Well, Brother Tyrone, on that note, we got a bunch of people on the phone, Brother Pickett.
Yes, indeed, Toombs. We have a lot of calls. Let's go to line number 6, Gerald. Artie out of Queens. Good morning, Artie. How are you?
I'm good, gentlemen. Mr. Powers, I have a lot of respect for you. I've heard you many times on this station, and I do believe that we are being watched and listened to. A question that I wanted to ask was, and I hope it's not getting off the subject, but I'm watching TV and I'm seeing Condoleezza Rice and the president all talking about, well, in Iraq they have a new government. Did they not elect a government that we were against, so we turned around and made them put somebody else up there? That's all I wanted to ask, and I'll fall. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
You
appreciate it very much, Artie.
They elected a government about a year or two ago, and then this country didn't agree with the people who were in that. There was after being elected, there was some concern that they were going to be more Shiite-leaning towards a theocracy rather than a democracy, and then this government decided to have another election or to remove them from power or to have them step down from power under the same kind of philosophy that Kennedy had the South African Vietnam government step down for power, leave or else, during the 1960s.
All right, let's go to line number 1. We have Marcus out of Newark, New Jersey. Good morning, Marcus. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing today, brother?
Good, man. Thank you very much for calling.
I would like to ask Mr. Power. How are you doing, Mr. Power?
I'm doing excellent.
All right, wonderful. I would like to ask, should we be surprised that they're doing something that they've been doing since the J. Edgar Hoover days? Because they're probably listening to us right now, and I'm sure their recording's gone when Mr. Farrakhan was on last week. So
hey,
should we be surprised?
No, I don't think we should be surprised, but I think that we have to continue. I think there are people in our community because, and I'll just say this briefly, because we don't control education in our communities, I think there are people in our community that we have to continuously educate. That's the power and the significance of this particular program, because there are some people, even in our community, who get caught up in the fear and in the hype and truly believe that George Bush is there to protect all people, and specifically black people. And unless we continue to break this down, unless we go, as Geronimo Pratt said, until we have hearings on COINTELPRO, we'll always be the victim of new, modern, up-to-date COINTELPRO. Unless you have a program like Open Lines, like this program we're listening to, more and more of our people, more and more of our young people will never develop mechanisms to counter this kind of intrusion. We're trying to do something to elevate and make progress for black people. But those people who would intercept our conversations and listen in our conversations and bug our meetings don't want us to make any progress. So we have to come up with plans, mechanisms, and ways, and there's some in existence that we want to talk about this morning, and to counter those kind of interceptions so we can make progress and everything we do is not thwarted. And the only way we do that is to understand what we're up against, and that's the power of a program like this. Most of the grown folks who know about COINTELPRO are not surprised, but there are young folks and others who are surprised, and that's the value of this conversation, discussion, and whatever methods we come up in terms of countering.
All right, Tyrone, we're going to take a quick hard break here, and we're going to come back with more of your phone calls with Dr. Tyrone Power. Stay with us. You're listening to The Open Line. We'll be right back.